This morning I want to talk about an interesting project that we did with the British Columbia Center for Disease Control. In order to protect citizens from the 2009 H1N1 influenza A pandemic virus, new vaccines were developed. In British Columbia and Washington State both, campaigns were implemented to deliver vaccine to the entire population per recommendations. And the population demographics of these two jurisdictions are very similar, and they lend themselves well to a comparison of adverse events following immunization. Most of the vaccine used in British Columbia was a novel squalene adjuvanted inactivated monovalent vaccine. The monovalent inactivated vaccine, or MIV, administered in Washington was unadjuvanted and was based on the seasonal vaccination formulation. So the objective of our study was to compare reported adverse events following receipt of these two vaccines, one adjuvanted and one unadjuvanted, and specifically the inactivated H1N1 vaccine in the two jurisdictions, because we did have similar surveillance systems and population demographics. The system for reporting adverse events in both Washington and British Columbia are passive, although they are distinctive systems, and they were used to monitor reports of adverse events following immunization throughout the H1N1 vaccination campaign. In British Columbia, the BC CDC received their reports through provincial health authorities. There is an electronic system called IFIS that they use for this reporting. And individual recipients would report their adverse event, if they had one, to their immunization provider, whether public health or family community physician. And then the public health staff submitted these reports electronically with supplementing medical information if it was a serious adverse event. The number of doses administered in British Columbia was collected throughout the season through a web-based reporting survey. The doses that are included in this analysis are doses that were reported as being administered by public health providers and pharmacists, and doses distributed by public health units to other providers, including physicians, through January 31st of 2010. And then they applied a proportion of 94% to obtain an estimate of the portion of the vaccine that was adjuvanted. And that was based on doses distributed. In Washington, we received weekly summaries of adverse events following immunization, and they were provided to the Department of Health by the CDC Immunization Safety Office. The reports had come in through VAERS, which is our vaccine adverse event reporting system in the U.S., and it is a national web-based online system, and it is available to healthcare professionals, public health agencies, pharmaceutical manufacturers, and to the general public. Summaries were sent to the Department of Health's designated vaccine safety coordinator, and they contained reports of adverse events experienced by Washington residents following the receipt of any 2009 monovalent influenza vaccine. These were reports each week that had been received the previous week. They were deduplicated, and they included a variable for the type of vaccine received. The number of doses administered in Washington was reported during the season by one of three methods. We did have a means of reporting by a web-based survey. There was also a module for that purpose in the immunization registry, or they could be submitted by fax directly to Department of Health. Unfortunately, in none of these three was the type of vaccine, the specific type of vaccine required. And so in order to estimate the number of doses for this study, the proportion of total doses distributed nationally was applied in order to estimate doses distributed in Washington, with 82.5% MIV and 17.5% LAIV. So the results, you can see that our populations are similar. We do have a few more people in Washington, and the median age is slightly younger. The percent of adults living with chronic disease is fairly similar, and the genders are very similar. So the number of doses distributed in British Columbia was approximately 16 million, with 12 million distributed in Washington. That covered 36% of their population and only 18% of ours. But as you can see, no adjuvanted vaccine was used in Washington, and no live attenuated vaccine was used in British Columbia. So what was left for us to compare was adjuvanted versus unadjuvanted inactivated vaccine. And this is a table of our rates of adverse events. The rate of all AEFIs per 100,000 doses distributed overall was 27.1 in British Columbia and 13.5 in Washington. The fatal and serious adverse events, there was no significant difference. But the non-serious adverse events is where the difference in the reporting rate fell, with 25.2 per 100,000 doses for British Columbia and 12.3 for Washington State, leaving a rate ratio of 2 to 1. But as you can see, the serious adverse event rate ratio was 1.4, very similar. So a few notes about this result table. In Washington, the serious category included events that were life-threatening, events that resulted in hospitalization or permanent disability but did not include death. In British Columbia, the serious category included all events that were life-threatening or that resulted in a fatal outcome, residual disability, hospitalization or prolongation of an existing hospitalization. For this analysis, in both jurisdictions, fatal cases were separated out from the serious category. There were two fetal deaths in British Columbia and one in Washington, and these were categorized as serious rather than fatal events, since it was the mother who had received the vaccine. And in both jurisdictions, reports of AEFI did not require a known causal association for inclusion in this analysis. So the events reported in both jurisdictions during the study period, which was October 1st through May 31st, are included. That's the reporting time frame. However, events must have occurred within 8 weeks of vaccination for us to have included them. And I do want to say that in British Columbia, they have a somewhat different process. And this analysis does include some events that were subsequently reviewed in British Columbia and deemed not causally associated. So as I said, there were no significant differences in the rates of reported serious adverse events or deaths in association with adjuvanted versus non-adjuvanted monovalent 2009 influenza A vaccine. These findings are reassuring because the decision to use the novel adjuvanted formulation in Canada was based on a World Health Organization recommended recommendation for antigen-sparing vaccines. And this was the first time a non-alum-based adjuvant had been used in Canada. And I had to think of a way to say this. Eventually, the use of an adjuvanted vaccine was decided against in the United States. However, prior to and throughout and to date, the decision to use an unadjuvanted vaccine, there is considerable concern about adjuvants voiced in some communities in the U.S. Because adjuvanted vaccine was known to be associated with higher rates of reactions, including local pain, swelling, and duration, or systemic with fever, headache, myalgia, etc. These were based on previous studies with H5N1 adjuvanted vaccine, and pre-marketing studies had too few subjects to reliably detect serious adverse events. So the rate of reported non-serious events may be a reflection of this expected reactogenicity. So the limitations of both systems utilized in this study are related to the nature of passive surveillance for adverse events. In British Columbia, as I said, the reporting is by health providers, and the reporting of expected events was actually discouraged in their instructions to the reporters. They were expecting high rates of non-serious events, and they actually, in their set of instructions that they sent out to the public health agencies to enter them, discouraged the reporting of short-term injection site pain, redness, or swelling. In Washington, the adverse event reports available to us were only events that were sent to the state from the national VAERS reporting system. And VAERS allows direct from the public reporting. So the overall rate of adverse events reported was higher following receipt of the adjuvanted vaccine in BC compared to the rate in Washington. But as I said, it's really reassuring to see that the rates of serious adverse events were really not different from one another. So next steps, what we're considering doing now, the means of classification of the adverse events as serious or fatal are very comparable. However, the 2-to-1 difference in the report of non-serious events is not well understood. And what British Columbia did was each symptom actually had a code, whereas the reports that came from VAERS were already categorized as serious or non-serious. So in British Columbia, for example, if someone had a headache and myalgia and a fever, there was a code for headache, a code for myalgia, and a code for fever. And so what we're thinking now as a logical a next step to understand the difference is to take their coding protocol and apply that to the text in our VAERS reports for non-serious events and see if we can clarify whether certain types of symptoms were reported more frequently in BC than in Washington. We would like to acknowledge the VAERS team at CDC and the Immunization Safety Office. And we would also like to thank the following local health authorities in British Columbia: Northern Health, Vancouver Island Health Authority, Fraser Health, Interior Health, and Vancouver Coastal. The co-authors on this study were Dr. David Patrick, who is basically the state epidemiologist, the provincial epidemiologist for BC, and Tony Marfan, who is the state epidemiologist for Washington, and Monica Noss, who is my counterpart in BC, and two epidemiologists from the University of British Columbia.